Happy Thursday, everybody. You are listening to Steen on Sports, and there's a whole bunch of Steens in here. I'll introduce them here in just a second. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 the Champ. Facebook's at 1700 the Champ. Website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up for except for the very last one. I will get that up tonight if I can. Today's Thursday, so we have Lions and Packers on tonight. Twins and Rockies on Friday. You and I, Youngstown State on Saturday. Commanders, Eagles, Patriots, Cowboys, Chiefs, Jets on Sunday and Monday. We have, what do we have Monday? The Seattle Seahawks and the New York Football Giants. So, my last show today, and it's been a day. It's been a crazy day. I had a busy day at work and coming in, but now I'm better because I have all three boys in here. Zach is in here, Andrew's in here, and Nathan is in here. To celebrate this last show. So welcome in, guys. How is everybody?
Doing good. Excited for this last show. It's been a whirlwind. I'm happy for you, and let's end it with a bang.
There you go. That would have been the Zach.
It's always good to be back, Gare.
It's always nice to have you in here.
And we're doing all right over here, even though the nose is a little bit stuffy and the throat's a little bit scratchy. We're here for one last show, and let's have a good time.
There you go. I agree with that. First question is, it's really funny. So I've been doing this for 5 years, and I'm thinking, okay, five. You know, you think 5 years isn't very long, and I'm thinking if you're 20,
I'm 22.
You're 22, so you're 17 when I started this show.
I was a junior in high school, I think.
I think you were a senior in high school when I started the show.
No, he would have been a
freshman in college.
Freshman
at Iowa State. And you were a junior at Iowa State. Or maybe a sophomore.
No, I was.
Or are you older than that?
I feel like your first show was when I was graduated, but maybe not.
Yeah. I've had you all on at different points and times and for different reasons. And for it's kind of funny because having three boys, number one, is awesome because it's a built-in foursome all the time, which we do a lot. But the other thing is you learn a lot about these guys, and through me and what I enjoy and like in sports. And it's really funny. All three of them have wide-ranging thoughts about sports. I mean, Zach got me started into watching, you know, not IndyCar, not NASCAR. You got me watching Grand Prix and thinking that's pretty cool. It's off the beaten path because of Netflix. Andrew, you're more of an NBA guy more than anything. I think that you enjoy that the most. And you always think that Nate's a baseball guy, but I don't think you're a baseball guy. What do you like to watch the most?
Well, now I'm probably a golf guy, but I'm still pretty versed in baseball too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, it's fun. Mom and I were talking about this last night if you ever want to go and have some fun, take Jen to get a new phone.
Oh, wow. Good Lord.
And it went smooth. I mean, it couldn't have gone any better. I mean, it's so different now. You put the phones on top of each other and they just done. It was crazy, but it was still not easy.
I remember being there for 4 hours with you guys.
No, it's no fun. And I was talking to her on the phone when she was driving there, and she was starting to stress me out. And I was like, I got to go. I'm not part of this conversation. And don't want to be any help.
Yeah, but it went smooth. Except for at like 3:30 in the morning last night, she was trying to figure out her emails. I have no idea why at 3:30 it was important enough to check the emails. But so here's my first question of the day to you guys. Is Ryder Cup big enough for you guys to not watch college football and professional football and watch Ryder Cup?
I'll go first. This is Zach. I think the best answer is dual TVs.
There you go.
I'm going to be watching both. It's, you know, it's the best golf, you know, you can watch besides majors. Obviously, the guys are just electric, best players, you know, in the world going. And every time there's a Ryder Cup, it just reminds me in college when they has it at, when they had it at Hazeltine, my buddy was working the grounds there, and I had free tickets. And
Meatball was there.
It was actually Broughton.
Oh, it was Broughton.
Yeah, and
there.
I had free tickets to go. He gave me one, and my professor, I had a test on the day, and I was like, "Can I take it early?" Like, no problem. He just goes, "No, you have to be here for the test." And I didn't get to go to the Ryder Cup and took my test, and it was the worst weekend ever. All my friends were there.
Especially Hazeltine, too. Hazeltine's sweet.
But that did get us a polo from Hazeltine that's now in my closet instead of yours.
There you go.
Yep. Nice polo from Broughton that I stole, and then he got me a hat that I have no idea where it is. It's in Ames somewhere. A late night in Ames. Not sure who has that now.
Is the Ryder Cup more exciting when it's in Europe? Or when it's in the United States?
Well, it's a different environment. I mean, the people are completely different.
Well, I think it's much more fun to watch it with the European crowd.
But I feel like the European crowd is much more like active in the anthems and stuff. But when you come to America, they're just a bunch of drunk idiots that just get in their heads, and it's hilarious.
The cheers in Europe have lyrics to them, and they're pretty.
Right.
They're amazing. I mean, they're a lot of fun. So,
but I'll be watching that on dual TVs as well.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do too.
You'll be in Oklahoma.
I'm going to be in the stadium. I think it's a 6 o'clock game. I think it's a 6 o'clock game.
Yeah, it's a 6 o'clock game.
Giving us prime time.
I'm kind of excited. Norman, you guys remember when we kind of went through Norman?
Yeah, we drove through there.
I thought we went through Stillwater. Or did
we did both. Yeah. I think we did both.
Mm-hmm. Last time that Iowa State plays there?
Yes. Right. That is not one that I think Iowa State would say, "Hey, I want to keep
do
that
out of conference." Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think there are some. I would be. Boy, that's a great question. Would I be more willing that they'd want to play Texas or Oklahoma? That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that Oklahoma and Iowa State, you know, throughout the say past 5 years, you know, we've gone to Oklahoma and won. We had some big games there, you know, at the end of the year, upset them a couple times. I could see us playing them, you know, going forward every, you know, once in a while. I feel like everyone wants to play Texas, and they'll probably have, you know, other offers that are better, you know, but who knows? It's going to be an exciting game. They only scored 20 points, Oklahoma did last week. So Iowa State defense obviously is the best, you know, side of the ball at Iowa State right now. And if we can score some touchdowns, I think it can be a close game.
That's a big if.
It's tough saying, you know, take the spread, but
I think they turned the corner a little bit. I know Oklahoma State is not Oklahoma State of 5 years ago, but it's still Oklahoma State's a better team, Oklahoma. No, I'm talking about last week. I think we turned the corner. And Oklahoma State's a way better team than Miami of Ohio. And what we did and how rock – I'll ask this question to you guys. I think Rocco has a bright career ahead of him. I think he's Brock Purdy, except for he might have a stronger arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think my thought has always been if Kyle Kemp can go into Norman and beat Oklahoma, why can't Rocco Becht? So
yeah, that's a huge. It's a
yeah. I mean, you can definitely tell that Rocco's a 19-year-old redshirt freshman. I mean, he just needs to get out there and, you know, get exposed to, I mean, the first Big 12 game. It's kind of funny. I'm pretty sure that Brock Purdy's first Big 12 game, he came in for Zeb Nolan in, like, the second half or the second drive.
Second drive. Yeah, we were at a fundraiser by Dowling, and he came in, and you're like, I mean, I remember sitting there with Rob
Purdy,
going,
the first Purdy pump.
There goes the season. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
and totally changed that.
I was just fine seeing Zeb Nolan get sidelined, but I didn't know what the alternative was. I mean, obviously, we hadn't heard of Brock Purdy before.
Right. You know, that a lot of and a lot of people bring up these, you know, gosh, he threw a lot of interceptions in the Big 12. And I'm like, okay, he's got Kyle Shanahan. We didn't have Kyle Shanahan up in Ames. I mean, we had an offensive coordinator, but he wasn't Kyle Shanahan. I mean, it's a different ball game up there.
Yeah, and that's just kind of the Big 12 too, right? You throw the ball around, and yeah, he made some. When he made mistakes, they were really, really bad mistakes.
And that really, really bad time.
Yep. And you know, just thinking about, you know, not having Kyle Shanahan and, you know, how he has his weapons in San Francisco right now. The players we had at Iowa State when he was there, they were great. I mean, there's a bunch of players that were on those teams in the NFL now, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, looking back, you know, we see him come in the second quarter or whatever, and now he's the starting quarterback of the 49ers. And
is 8-0.
Who's one of the best teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. So, you know, I think that's an exciting thing, and they're only going to get better. I mean, here's the crazy thing. If Coach Shielhouse was sitting in this room right now, and I had to take you guys from age down, he'd be sitting in between Andrew and Nate. That's how young this guy is, and I think he has a bright mind. Another quick question for all three of you. Would you rather him be on the field or would you rather him be in the booth? Because he's in the booth right now. What's your guys' take on that?
I guess I haven't really been exposed. I mean, I feel like it's usually best to be up in the booth where you can see everything happening.
You think so?
You know, you can have, I mean, Campbell's the guy on the sideline to kind of, you know, put it out there, but I always think there's a benefit of being up there too.
I get that.
Yeah. I think I'm with Andrew too. I mean, being able to see the field in the entirety is very much an advantage. But that's the thing about Matt Campbell. It's like you would much rather have Matt Campbell's energy and all that stuff on the sideline.
Right.
And be able to just have him in the box doing his own thing.
Okay.
Making sure everything's
right. I can be talked that way. I mean, it just seems different because, and I understand the NFL is different. You have more staff. You have all that. So, I mean, your offensive coordinator's on the field, but the person up there, it's his next guy. And I mean, so they're communicating all that time. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you need to see the field, right? Okay. When you're up there, you see, you know, where the safeties are rolling down to, you know, what covers they're in. You can, you know, lock in on some schemes that they have or, you know, what they're showing, you know, going forward. I think that'd be the coolest job, just to sit up there in the box and just look at the field and be like, yeah, let's play this one. It's just Madden in real life. And that'd be the dream job.
Here's a really funny thing for me. Somebody asked, because we have tickets in Sioux Cup, and they're like, wouldn't you rather be on, like, the 50-yard line or something? I'm like, no. I love sitting in Sioux Cup and seeing plays open up and see what they're actually running and see when someone just jukes somebody and you go, oh, my God, I hope he just saw what I just saw. And when it happens, it's really cool to sit in the end zone.
Yeah. I'd say you probably only would want to be – on the 50-yard line, not in Sioux Cup for about three games out of the year between September and October.
Right.
And then after that, Sioux Cup gets it's going to be super hot or super cold, and you're fine being indoors.
Yeah. Like we went. It was 97.
That was one of those times this past weekend when you thought there was a chance of weather, and being able to sit in there was pretty cool. And you still have the ability to go in and out. I just had to stay closer because Mom was excited to be in there, but when she starts napping, people just start sitting by her.
Yeah, I think the handful of times I've been in Sioux Cup, could not tell you who Iowa State played. I don't think I watched the game. It was just eating all the chicken tenders and the beverages around there.
It's a lot of fun. So let's do that. We got 3 minutes left of this first segment. They're a 20-point dog. I think that's really tough. Unless we have a lot of turnovers, it's really tough to tell me that they're going to score 20 more points with that Iowa State defense, especially for what the number of their point total from last week, playing not as good a defense as the Iowa State defense is or can be. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I don't think they're going to get beat by more than 20 points. You guys agree? I wouldn't have said that before the Oklahoma State game, but I'm saying it now.
Yeah, I mean, with Iowa State, we always keep the games close. I swear it's always, you know, one or two drives that could have went differently. But then the Oklahoma coach, I can't remember his name, from Clemson, right?
Yeah, Venables.
And he was the defensive guy, you know, at Clemson. So a little worrisome, you know, because they're going to have good defensive players. So
having
Iowa State go up against that, I don't know if our defense is as good to support our offense that may not be able to move the ball.
That's a difficulty. Can we run the ball? We ran the ball against Oklahoma State. We didn't run the ball great, but nobody in college football runs the ball great anymore. I mean, you're running it so you can throw the ball, and we did that. We didn't do that at Miami of Ohio. I mean, we had 22 yards.
The thing that worries me is that we had a lot of touchdown like catches from receivers. It seemed like blown coverages, and they were wide open. hopefully that's not the case, but we can't really rely on that. Like, we have to get people open. We have to give Noel the ball. And it sucks because I hate running the ball, but we have to establish the run to be able to throw the ball too.
But I think you can establish the run with Breck. I mean, I really do. I think that not having him roll out and then getting extra yards, if you can't get those yards, I think in the offensive line is going to get better. Our problem is the teams that we play are going to get a little bit. It's not like, I mean, Oklahoma's a really good team. I mean, they're not Oklahoma of the past, but they're still a good team. But it's going to be interesting to see what we can do.
Yeah. I really want to see Sam Abu get at least more than 7 touches like he had last game.
He but needs to be on the field at least half the time.
And I don't think you have to run him all the time. I think you need to get him out in space because he's tough. But when they hit him in the backfield, and that Oklahoma State hit him in the backfield a whole bunch of times, it's hard, especially for a freshman to, you know, it's quicker. I mean, it's quicker than what it is in high school.
Yep, so we also need to not play so conservative. We need to play like we're underdogs, which we will probably be in every game going forward.
I agree.
And stop settling for field goals. Like, we need 6 points. We don't need 3 points. And I'm
much more calm with that on the road than I am at home. I don't mind it at home as much. But on the road, I think we need to be aggressive.
Yeah. And Matt Campbell used to go up for it on 4th-and-3, 2-and-1 in inches. It's like, where did that go? You know, where... Be the same guy you used to be.
I like it. Last show for Steen on Sports today. It's nice to have the boys in here. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We'll jump into some NFL. We got a bunch of college. We got NBA. I might even ask Andrew an NBA question when we come back. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Thursday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. We have Lions, Packers on tonight, Westwood 1. Pregame starts at 6:30. I did a horrific job in the first hour because I was so excited to have all three boys in here with me that I did not talk about our sponsors of the show, and they are the reason that this show is... on the air, and I want to thank all of them first, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlawns Medical Center. I'm going to do Northwest Bank really quick here. Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay. So we were kind of talking about Iowa State. Let's take a little glimpse into some games this weekend in college football. There's some good football games out there. First off, I want to get your guys' opinion on Deion Sanders. And what happened to Deion Sanders last weekend is probably going to happen to Deion Sanders again this weekend, because he just doesn't have, especially with losing one of his best guys. He doesn't have a team that can compete with the groupings like that. It's just he just doesn't have enough. Yeah, he's not USC is gonna. It's gonna be tough on him. Oregon's gonna be tough on him. If I was those coaches, and I'm gonna take swipes at him after these games, I'd watch out, because that dude ain't going anywhere. Because there's really nowhere else he can go. He's not going to the pros, and there are more people watching these games, and there are more people doing all of this. Because of Deion Sanders, he's the real deal. Am I kidding myself that he's not the real deal?
No, and I'm gonna eat crow here for a second, because I said even last week that there is no way that Oregon beats Colorado by 20 points or more, and sure enough, that ended up happening. But like Deion said himself, he's been booed since he was born. I mean, he's not going to change what he does. That's who he is. That's what gets people going and gets his team going. A loss like that, it happens. It's his first time, you know, being in this Power 5 conference, so I'm not too worried about it, but, I mean, it definitely hurts having, you know, Hunter not playing, so.
Right. It's right. A big deal.
And coming from, you know, the stance of the players, too, there can't be an easier coach to get behind. I mean, the fire that he brings to that team is unreal.
I think it's honesty that he brings to the team.
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to be a real guy, yes. But the problem is he needs to find the right people that want to buy into his program. And there is a select few of people, but I think he's found the right people. And the longer he stays there, I mean, just the better he's going to be.
I mean, he's going to get so many recruits. Just the star power he has coming to his games is ridiculous. And, you know, flip side, that's a lot of distractions, too.
It is.
You know, they're super young kids. And, you know, it's tough, but it's got to be super cool. And having Travis Hunter hurt, he's the best player on both sides of the ball. I will say I was on Oregon minus 21.
I was, too.
And then it's also just tough, too. Like, Oregon's one of the best teams in the nation. USC, one of the best teams, maybe the best team in the nation. He's not expected to win those games, and he's going to keep growing at Colorado. He'll keep getting these players. The defense has got to get a little better. And to go with, you know, Deion, we see it more in sports now, you know, being loud and rambunctious and, you know, all about me. He was the one who started that, and now it's just coming to fruition with every single player. He's fun to watch. It's been great, and what he's done to Colorado and for Colorado is awesome. And I think, you know, the school, the city, you know, everyone's behind him, and it's fun to watch. I don't think I've ever watched I haven't watched a Colorado game since they played Iowa State, and it was 7-6 or something like that.
Exactly.
Or 6-5.
Yeah, it was bad, and I think that's what he has, and I don't even call it self-promotion, because it's not giving it enough. And he's been that way. I agree with you. He's been that way since he was in high school. He was that way at Florida State. He was that way in the NFL. Once he got to Dallas, it's the only player that I've ever seen be able to shut Jerry Jones up and just say, "Jerry, I don't need your help. You just get behind me, and we're gonna take this for a ride." I mean, he does that. And it fits into what's happening in NCAA basketball or basketball, football. And what I've said all along is what Deion Sanders is going to do in some of these other schools is Clemson, Alabama, Florida, some of the other big schools, Oklahoma, Texas, they're not going to be able to hide, you know, 4-star kids and maybe hide a couple of 5-star kids and hope that they don't have to play them as freshmen and play them as sophomores. It's not going to work that way anymore, because they're not going to get NIL money if they're not on the field. And Deion understands that. And he's like, listen, I mean, the fact that they even won a game, turning over a whole entire roster during the lead up to the season is pretty amazing. But you can see how much the country's paid attention, because he's putting up TV numbers that have never even been close to being able to happen in NCAA football. So even if the NCAA doesn't like him because they don't like anything fun, you know, it's pretty much the NCAA is coming to an end here soon anyway, and it's going to be a whole different ball game. And once that happens, he's only going to get bigger. And there's, I don't know, and I agree that it was the Colorado people just brought him in and said, you tell us what you want to do. There's a lot of universities and colleges in this country that won't do that. I mean, it's not like, you know, there's going to be 60% of NCAA football is going to look for him to come coach there, because they don't like having to give up. You know, it doesn't work. You have to have somebody that goes, I want you to make our program better than what it was. And I think they're thinking now, oh my gosh, we had no idea what his star power could be, which is pretty cool. There's a lot of great games. Utah, Oregon State is a big time game. Utah's 4-0. Oregon State's 3-1. It's at Oregon State. Oregon State's a really good football team who doesn't have a conference after this year. I still think there's a chance that Washington State and Oregon State get picked up by the Big 12.
You know, I hope they do. And that game will be good, too, because they have DJ Ugalunlele whatever from Clemson.
Who's 3-1, and Clemson's 2-3 or 2-2.
I was pretty surprised that he left. I don't know if it was him or
I think it was
forced
Debo.
Out, or if he just wanted, you know, NIL money. I know Debo, or you know, he didn't Dabo didn't want, or he's been pretty against NIL. There's a lot of good games on, and it's we're finally starting to get into, you know, actual college football games in conference. I just want it to be Saturday.
You know, and you're going to have some of these games that it's going to turn, right? You have Florida, Kentucky. You would have thought, you know, 4 years ago, that's not a tough game for Florida. I don't know if Florida's roster is any better than Kentucky's roster, except for maybe at a couple of key positions. It's in Kentucky. They had a full house last week. I think that's a tough game. Georgia, Auburn. You know, Georgia's kind of been, you know, since Alabama's doing so bad, no one's even talking about Georgia. They're 4-0.
Yeah.
You have all these players in the NFL from the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Playing in Auburn's not easy.
Yeah. I'm most excited for the Texas-Kansas game.
I there's another one. That's a game that I would – and Texas, I think this is crazy. 16.5.
Yeah.
They're not 16.5 points better than that offense in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Do you think they are? You're shaking your head. You're going to take that 16.5, aren't you?
I don't know. Texas, it sucks to say. They're a top three team, and they're probably Ewers may win the Heisman, and I might bet it. They're really, really, really good.
I just don't have a lot of trust in Sarkisian. Yeah. So
I think if Kansas wins that game, I mean, because Texas is three, right?
Yep.
I think
they're number three. Kansas is 24. Kansas has their quarterback's crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
Runs the ball. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't. Michigan, Nebraska is not going to be a good game. LSU, Ole Miss. I'm here to tell you that LSU is trying to find a coach. Brian Kelly is not the answer at LSU. Oh. With the boosters and all that, he's not that guy. I mean, he was that guy in Cincinnati. And kind of that guy at Notre Dame, and his thought process was, I just can't get enough good players. And now he has good players, and people are just finding out he's not a very good coach. And Alabama beat them more than what I thought they would, but it was in Alabama. Then LSU going to Ole Miss, I could see Ole Miss winning that game. What's that one? That one is LSU's only 2.5 point favorite.
That's pretty surprising. And you know, LSU's first couple games were tough. It seemed like they bounced back a little bit the last couple weeks. I don't know what Brian Kelly needs to do. He acts like he's won stuff, yeah. And he hasn't.
He's awkward.
Like, he acts like Saban and, you know, all these other highly touted guys.
And he's not.
And he hasn't done much. No. And he was supposed to be coming to LSU, and they're going to be the best team in the nation, you know, for many years. And, you know, it's been tough. And he probably, you know, looks at how good Notre Dame is playing and how they're doing, and is like, wow, maybe I shouldn't have left. But he also got a big paycheck. So
Notre Dame's going to Duke. Notre Dame is a 5.5 point favorite at Duke.
God, Notre Dame, that's crazy. How is it only that?
Duke's 4-0.
Put the house on Notre Dame.
And the over under, that's a crazy. The over under is 53. The Tennessee-South Carolina game, the over-under is 63.5, and Tennessee is only a 12-point favorite. That means South Carolina's going to score a lot. Spencer Rattler's there, though. I mean, he has 1,300 yards already this year.
Who does Iowa got this week?
They have Michigan State.
Yeah.
Ugh. And you have no idea. I mean, that's going to be punt, 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 punt.
I didn't watch, I think, a snap of that Penn State game. Looked at the box score, and this is crazy. As a Iowa State diehard fan, I almost felt bad for the Hawkeyes. I mean, watching that game.
It was their whiteout game.
70 yards of offense.
70 yards, and it was, I'm trying to remember precisely, but it was like punt, 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 fumble, punt, 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 fumble, punt, punt, fumble.
Iowa had 4 first downs in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Best thing, too, that's one of the hardest games to play in college football is when Penn State has that whiteout game.
Yeah. No,
that is the one of the coolest college football traditions that out there, easily.
Yeah, and I was a sucker. I took +13.5, and they didn't even score.
Please tell me you took the under, though, too.
No, I didn't. And Penn State, they seem pretty legit.
Yeah.
well, the Big Ten always beats themselves up. Interested to see how Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, you know, kind of fare with each other.
I think Wisconsin's a good team. I think that's the thing that Iowa has to worry about. They're going to have to beat Wisconsin and to be able to go to the championship game, because the rest of their games aren't hard. But I say that, and they also can't score. So I don't know how you do that.
Yep, and I'm not sold on Ohio State or Michigan right now. We'll see how that goes.
I think Penn State may be a better team.
Still upset about the Ohio State-Notre Dame ending.
I am too. That's a fireable offense. Either the defensive coordinator's got to go, the head coach, you can't play two consecutive plays trying to keep them out of the end zone and not have your full allotment of players on the field. That's crazy.
Oh my, yeah.
And they had timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Call a timeout. I don't understand the thought process. So Oklahoma, over-under is 48.5. That's a lot of points.
Especially for those two defenses, yeah.
And the spread's 20. And even if, Zach, even if you say we may, you know, get two field goals and maybe get a touchdown, that would get us to 13. I don't know if they can score 35 points.
If we kick two field goals, that means we miss two field goals too. I'm always a sucker for taking team total over, and I probably will. I don't have really any expectations. It'd be really cool if we won. I don't know. I'll probably end up taking Oklahoma.
I will say this. It is nice having a kicker that can kick a 50-yard field goal and do it multiple times.
Except for that we want a field goal kicker that can unabashedly make a 20-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. That's
also
kind of important.
He actually can kick the ball in the end zone, too.
That's a
kickoff.
That is kind of nice to see as well. All right, so we're going to do some we'll do some potpourri during this next segment. This one's coming up. Potpourri is a little, we go a little off kilter, a little non-sports maybe, a little bit, to see what's going on, or at least not big time sports. And then we'll jump into NFL this weekend. NFL has a lot of good games starting with tonight.
Tonight's going to be a great game.
It's a pretty exciting game.
Yeah, it's a rematch of Aaron Rodgers' last game as a Packer. We'll see if Jordan Love can beat the Lions, I guess.
That's the, I'm kind of a Packers fan. So, I mean, I love Jordan Love, but the Lions are kind of the real deal this year.
Yeah, you know, I will say, too, the Lions are 6-0 against the spread in divisional games, their last six games with them. So, I like the Lions tonight.
No problem there with you, right? No issues. No issues at all. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. My last segment of the first hour on this Thursday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can always check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. We have the Lions and the Packers tonight. This next segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmanscontrol.com and find out more about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Okay, pull that back up again. So let's do a quick Ryder Cup. First day, it's for what is the first one? Is it?
Well, let me tell you right here.
Foursomes.
So for the American team, it'll be Max Homa and Brian Harman versus Victor and Ludwig.
Victor Hovland had a hole in one
on a par four.
On a par four today.
But according to Danny Raps from Barstool, I think it was his second shot off the tee. I think he had a re-tee. So it's a birdie.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not hear that.
Pretty impressive still. It's 350.
It is very impressive.
The second ones are Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns versus John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. That'll be a good
one. That's a good. And you'll see that pairing, the American pairing, that they're going to stay together.
Yeah, they'll definitely stay together. This one I'm not as excited for, but still, I mean, still a great one. Ricky Fowler and Colin Morikawa versus Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka.
Yeah, that's one we need to win tomorrow.
That's going to be the deciding one for the American team, is if those two can come and play.
Yep.
Is day one alternate shot?
Yeah, so you get four. It's like four ball and alternate, and then they change them up the next day where it's alternate four ball, and then it's individual.
Individual, yeah. And then the last group is the best one by far, like I was talking about over break. Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay.
Who play together all the time.
Who are basically best friends, and they play together, right? And versus Rory and Tommy Fleetwood.
Who play together all the time.
And so that one is the team where they're putting the dogs together.
And no Jordan, Justin going out.
For the first day.
For the first day.
I get it. Yep.
So that'll be exciting. I am a huge Ryder Cup guy. I agree with you guys.
You're also a huge Jordan Spieth fan, too.
I am a huge Jordan Spieth fan. Projecting top 40 impact freshmen in college basketball this year. Iowa State has two in the top 21. Omaha, for sure. Omaha Blue. And then Milan.
Milan. Too, but Milan's very, very good.
Milan's is very good. Very good shooter. I've heard from birdies that it's pretty competitive and very that they could go 11, 12 deep and just be fine.
The thing that I'm most excited for is the dynamic between Taman and Omaha. Mm-hmm. It is going to be so much fun to watch.
I mean, yeah, being two Metro boys, I wonder if they played much. I mean, it's only like, what, a year separated from each other?
They definitely played against each other. Yeah.
Because I know that Omaha was.
Well, I think Omaha actually was at Dowling when he actually played Taman, and I don't know how much.
I don't know how much he played. Omaha played.
Omaha didn't get a lot of PT at Dowling, which is why he ended up going to Waukee and balling out.
Exactly. One of the craziest Tiger Woods stats, talking Ryder Cup. He was only on one Ryder Cup winning team in all those years. One of the most competitive people in the world, and he only won one Ryder Cup. Pretty crazy.
I know he's a big President's Cup guy, though.
He is a big. And Charlie winning a tournament and getting into
66.
Yeah.
His post-round interview was like looking in a time capsule.
He said the mannerisms,
it was unreal.
Yeah, you know, I drove the bike. I mean, Tiger and Charlie are Bill Belichick. I drove the ball really well today, and I putted really well today.
Just got to pop one.
Yeah, and the cool part is, too, I honestly think they're best friends.
I do, too.
They absolutely are. The way they walk together.
And JT. Those three together are so much fun to watch.
It's going to be super cool to see, you know, him going forward. It'll be scary.
Because you know how it happens sometimes. Well, he's never going to be that good. Well, he is, because he has one of the best swing coaches. He has one of the best putting coaches. I mean, there's nobody that's ever been better.
No, it's not one of the
pressure,
best. It's the best.
At pressure shots than Tiger.
And it makes me feel so old looking back on that. 2019, the 2019 Masters that Tiger won when he came up and hugged Charlie. He looked like a child, like a baby. And now
in that, what is it called? Where they played together. It was like a year
Father,
or two
son.
After that.
Yeah.
And he still looked like a baby, and he was so good at golf.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Those are fun with the daily boys always going with it.
Right, and he's a good player, too.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah, it's just when is Charlie going to start taking steroids, too, is the question.
Yeah, he's already, I think, he's bigger than I thought he was going to be. Okay, so quickly, because this matters. It matters at my work. It matters on other places when I'm seeing people. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. Don't want to hear about it anymore. It was kind of exciting. It was funny. What's your guys' take?
It's awesome, but I'm getting upset because it's going to be a lot harder for me to get my Chiefs tickets than I normally go at least to two games in October and November.
But not if she's there.
The Swifties are going to be taking up all those freaking seats. It is awesome.
It is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And this is hard for me to say because I'm a music guy and a concert guy, and I don't know all the Taylor Swift songs, but what she did this year with her tour and 4-hour shows and doing all that, no openings, nothing, just her, that's crazy. If even if you don't like her, she's one of the best performers of all time.
Easily. So that's where I can step in here.
There you go.
So she is about to go on her world tour.
Which will be crazy.
To go overseas. And she, at each of these venues, she's playing at minimum two nights. Like, some nights she'll be playing four.
Four-hour concerts.
Yeah, four-hour concerts, but four nights in a row is going to be ridiculous. I mean, she is a world star, so I get it.
Yeah.
Just raking in money. It's not even funny.
No.
And over the summer, you know, had a lot of weddings and car rides, and my girlfriend Hannah would play Taylor Swift because she's like, if I'm going to be coming out on the road trip with you, we're going to play my music.
Hi, Hannah, by the way. Love you,
Hannah. And Taylor Swift's songs are really good. I really like a lot of them.
Too.
And I was very surprised, but I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
I am as well.
So this was a few months ago, but the last time I looked at tickets for Taylor Swift, it was at, I think it might have been at Arrowhead, but it was, her stage is so big that there's people sitting behind the stage still paying $1,000 in the nosebleeds.
Yeah, I don't, it's crazy. All right, so here's another one. This one freaked me out today. Only three NBA players have been with the same team since 2012-2013.
Was that before or after Damian Lillard?
He was even before Damian Lillard.
So would it be Steph Curry, Klay Thompson,
and Draymond.
Wow, yeah, it's all Warriors.
2012-2013 on the same team.
Giannis pretty close. I mean, he was, what, 13-14 was his rookie year? Yep. So, yeah.
But having three people, though, he didn't have three people with him. I mean, they've all three been together for that long. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but
there's really no other players that have been on the same team.
Okay, so here's the one, and this one really hurt me this week because I love both of these guys. Magic Johnson wasn't very excited about people sometimes calling Steph Curry the GOAT. And he's like, he goes, hey, if he got more than 5+ titles and 3+ finals MVPs and 3 MVPs and number one assist in the finals and number two in double doubles, number one in triple doubles in playoffs, number four in steals, then he's the best. But the last time I checked, he doesn't. That's Magic Johnson being Magic Johnson.
Yeah, and it's brutal too. Like, LeBron's in the league. Like, Tim Duncan was in the league. KD, like, there's so many other good players that play at a high level when Steph Curry has been in the league and he's, you know, won awards and won championships.
Yep.
And it makes me so mad when, you know, the older basketball fans try to say that. Like, everyone in the NBA is better, like, than they've ever been.
Yes.
Like, top to bottom rosters are better than any other time. And it's just going to keep getting like that more and more and more and more.
And my only thing that I've said is what Steph did, not everybody can be LeBron. Not everybody can be Magic Johnson. They're 6'9 point guard. Who's that? Who's that? And not everybody can be Giannis. They just can't be that tall, that talented. He's 6'2", and he's doing this stuff at 6'2". So when you have kids, I mean, I try to do that with kids. And when I coach basketball, if you want to be like somebody, be like him. Shoot 1,000 times a day. You can make money shooting the basketball. You're not going to dunk, so quit trying to touch the net, trying to do all. You're not going to dunk like those guys, but you can do that. You can dribble. I mean, the stuff that he practices and he does is amazing. He's the best under 6'5" guy of all time. It's too hard to get him against people that are bigger than he is. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports 5. Man, I can't even talk today. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Thursday. Second hour on this Thursday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. The website, 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up, so they're up to date. I will get this one up there, my last one, will be up sometime before the weekend's out. We have Lions Packers tonight, Twins Rockies tomorrow, UNI Youngstown State on Saturday, then full of football: Commanders, Eagles, Patriots, Cowboys, Chiefs, Jets, Seahawks, Giants. You also get Ryder Cup updates at the 55 mark. So tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, if possible. So look forward to that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. They're future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense of proper health care, providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about the cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Thank you to Heritage Building Maintenance. Okay, what are we thinking tonight, Lions-Packers?
I think the Lions are pretty much the real deal. I think Jared Goff is a very, very good quarterback. They're very well coached. You know, I just really think the Packers are still kind of finding their flow, and I think the Lions have already found their flow.
Yeah, the Packers are pretty banged up right now. If Christian Watson comes back tonight, it's going to be huge.
I think it's going to be very limited tonight, but they're trying to get him and Aaron Jones back out there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different dynamic on offense when you have them. He's the best receiver, and obviously Aaron Jones is the best running back. I think they have a couple safeties or cornerbacks that are out too.
Which is not going to be good.
Nope. I said it in the, you know, earlier in the show, but I like the Lions tonight a lot.
I didn't know how good Aiden Hutchinson was going to be. He's really, really good. I mean, he played at Michigan. He's just really good. And this shows just the difference of not having. And I think Jordan Love's going to be fine. But when you don't have Aaron Rodgers, I would like to see at any point in time that Aaron Rodgers has been in Green Bay that Denver has been a favorite in Green Bay. Detroit, 2 points. Yeah. That's pretty crazy. That's out there.
Is Montgomery playing tonight?
He is.
I saw he's quite. Yeah, that's nice.
They took the questionable out. That makes them. That's interesting. I've never seen that. Gonna have to screw that back on.
Good the microphone job. Fell down.
The microphone fell down those for those listening. That are, can't see this like we're on TV. That's funny. You can probably hold it and we'll fix it during the break. How's that? The other thing about that with David Montgomery is that doesn't put pressure on Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's going to be really, really good, but he can't take all of the snaps. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. So big-time games this weekend. I think the biggest game is early, and it's the Dolphins and the Bills. You're going to find out how good the Bills are, and you're going to find out if the Dolphins are for real. Zach, I'll start with you. Are the Dolphins for real first?
Yeah, I think so. They're really good, and it's tough. I didn't think Tua would come back playing this well. I didn't even know if he'd play football again after last season.
I've got a crazy stat.
I think it's a trap game, though, this week. They're road dogs to the Bills. I think it's -2.5 Bills. Probably going to stay away from the game. It's just vintage NFL. The Bills are probably going to win. Dolphins have been hot.
Even the over-under, 53.5, that's a lot for an NFL game.
Yeah, and, you know, Josh Allen, we haven't really seen a Josh Allen game yet where he, you know, has been unreal. It's going to come down to turnovers. I want to bet the Dolphins. It seems like a trap, though.
Yeah.
And when it seems like a trap, it usually is a trap.
And here's the crazy thing, and I can't compare this to I can't compare it to who they played because I'm not sure. But Tua in 2022 and Tua in 2023, he started out the season 3-0. He had 72 completions and 101 attempts, 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. His stats from last year to this year are exactly the same.
Exactly?
Exactly. Every single one of them are exactly the same, except for the fact that they're 3-0.
And they scored 70 points.
And they have and they have a coach who is a he's a coach like Bill Belichick on the defensive side or Bill Parcells. I mean, his thought process on what he does, he's like, okay, I can't have Tua take five steps back and have them come after him. So I have Tyreek Hill and I have Jalen Waddle and I have all these guys and both his running backs, Mozart and Anche, however you pronounce his name. I'm never good at pronouncing names. You know what? My name's on here, so I don't have to be. He just said, I'm going to kill people with speed, and I only have to get them a little teeny sliver of an opening. And once they're gone, you're not catching them, and it's working. I think he is like your generation coach. I mean, he's about the same. I mean, he's not 30 yet. I mean, he's about the same age as you.
I feel like he's...
You think he's older than that?
Yeah, he's got to... I think he's like 37.
Do you think he's that old? I didn't think he was that old.
I didn't think he was that old.
He looks like he's 18.
Yeah, he's 40.
He's 40 years old?
Yep.
He looks like he's 12.
To let the record show, I'm not 40. I may look like it, but I'm not 40.
He doesn't look 40 either. I mean, I think he gets ID'd places that he goes. That's crazy. But I thought that was just the craziest thing that you are, it's his seasons are so close together on what they were all the way through now. And I've sat in here with Scott. You guys know Scott is a Dolphins fan. All they have to do is keep him healthy. They can win a Super Bowl if he's healthy. He can't get hit.
Yep. That's just, you know, the NFL in a nutshell. What team ends the season with the least amount of injuries is going to be, you know, a playoff and Super Bowl contender. It sucks. I know we've talked about it. The Ravens are constantly the most hurt team, and they have so many players who are injured, and I swear it's the same players every single time. And they always end up finishing, you know, the season with just the weirdest players.
Yeah.
And, like, Devin Duvernay cannot be your number one receiver at the end of the year.
And they still win games. It's like, if they ever just thought, hey, let's don't do this way. Let's go out and really try and stay healthy. This was a big one for me, and I found this week, and I wanted to know what you guys thought. It came out in a pretty big article, and it was the NFL Circle of Trust for quarterbacks. And there's an inner circle, and I want to see if you agree with this inner circle. So the inner circle of quarterbacks were Tua, Mahomes, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. I was kind of iffy on Lamar Jackson just because of staying healthy, and he doesn't have the same – it doesn't seem like he has the same pedigree as those guys, but no. When you look at his stats, he does. It's just in a really boring way.
How is Brock Purdy in that conversation?
Yeah, see, I was confused by Brock Purdy.
Because that's the thing you had to do. Circle of trust of their coaches. Kyle Shanahan trusts him to do a lot of things.
Yeah, he's – what, 8-0, 7-0?
I mean, he leaves him out on an – I mean, he got him hurt last year doing that, but so they've kind of corrected it a little bit. So here's the outer circle looking in, and I want to see if there's any that you would bring in. Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Herbert.
Jared Goff would be the – as of right now, would be the only one that I would trust to go into that circle.
But what about Matthew Stafford?
Matthew Stafford is in the circle of maybe.
Okay, yeah, definitely him. You would think, what about Josh Allen? Is he in the maybe, or was
no,
he in?
No, Josh Allen was in the...
Yeah, he was in it. Probably Joe Burrow next, just because he's been leading his team, you know,
really
to victories.
Good.
And the Bengals always start off slow, and I know he's been a little banged up. But I think, you know, he's the highest paid quarterback, too, so you have to...
Do you think he deserves it more than Jared Goff?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's proved it, yeah. And that's what matters at the end of the day.
And they've both been into a Super Bowl.
He should have won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's the crazy part. The Bengals should have won the Super Bowl if it wasn't for the penalty flag in the fourth quarter in the last drive, gets the first down, and then Cooper Kupp scores a touchdown. I mean, the Bengals had the Super Bowl won.
I agree. The crazy one for me, and I'm trying to figure it out. And the NFL doesn't do, or all the talking heads out there don't do themselves any good. I mean, after the first 2 weeks, Dak Prescott's the best quarterback of all time. He played the Giants and the Jets. They are god awful.
His stats weren't even that great either.
No, and then he played the Arizona Cardinals, who said, hey, you know what? We're going to hit you, and we're not going to let you run the ball, and let's see what you can do. And that game wasn't even close. Yeah. People said, well, they didn't lose by that. It was the Arizona Cardinals. Well, they're tanking.
Yeah, it got close at the end. That's
even
why.
In that second week, though, you say, you know, he's the best thing ever. Their defense scored 50 fantasy points. I think that might have to do a little bit something with it.
And that was, you know, that's how they're going to win. And Parsons, you know, that was the talk. What is the betting line for Parsons to win MVP of the league? And there, it went from like 100-1 down to like 67-1, and then it went to 45-1. And there were people, I mean, because Mike Greenberg was talking about it, like, if it's 100-1, let's go bet it. Because, but once again, they played the Jets and the Giants, and he didn't even have a sack against the Cardinals.
The NFL needs to change that, kind of like how the MLB has, you know, two Cy Youngs, two MVPs. It should be offense and defense. You're never going to get a fair representation of a defense and an MVP, even the Heisman, too. It's never going to be that.
Well, a defensive player's never winning it over a quarterback because the defensive player, they're not even in on all plays. I mean, it's not as – it's important, right? But it's not as – I mean, the quarterback's the most important. It's the highest paid. It's the most important thing.
Exactly. And then going
if you
to
don't
the,
have one, you can't play.
Yeah, and going to the Heisman too, it's like Travis Hunter, you know, is in the Heisman race. You know, maybe not anymore because he's going to be out games, but he's playing both sides of the ball.
Right.
Right. So he's playing offense, so he's on offense still.
One of the only other people
scoring
to do
touchdowns
it was Deion.
Exactly. And
Jabril Peppers.
I think they should change it too, just because, you know, the way their contracts are, you know, set up in the NFL, they have all these achievements they get to get, and then they, you know, get bonuses paid out. They should split it. And, you know, it's, I'm surprised that NFLPA hasn't, you know, done anything like that.
NFLPA has a lot of things that
they're doing a good job. I think they've done a good job.
Yeah. But they need to do a better job. And one of the places they have to do a better job, you have to do something about running backs, because you see all these running backs getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Owners don't want to pay them because, you know, and how, you know, they're injury prone, but they get hit more than anybody else gets hit. You know, if you take fantasy football to be, you know, relevant, I mean, what's the most relevant thing in fantasy football? It's running backs. People take running backs. And it's going to be difficult for these guys because they're not going to get those big contracts. They're not going to have as long a career. It doesn't seem like the pay scale that way is fair. And everybody's like, well, you can't just change it. And I'm like, you're a league. You can do whatever you want to do. You can mandatory people pay a certain amount. It's like, but getting a bunch of billionaires to spend a couple of extra bucks isn't as easy as what people thought.
Yeah, and the owners are also seeing, too, the last however many Super Bowl winners, it's been a very, very small contract that the starting running back had. They're not, it's not Zeke. Well, it's not Saquon. It's not these guys who have had the bigger contracts that are going to the Super Bowl and winning, you know, winning it. Right?
It was the Buccaneers and the Chiefs.
Yep. White and then Pacheco.
Yeah.
And then, who was on the Rams? It was
Cam Akers and
Cam Akers was on his, you know, initial contract too. And it's, they don't have to pay. They just see how, you know, history has gone, and
I can't remember his name.
Like Nick Chubb, he's one of the best running backs, and
that was disgusting.
Okay, here's the crazy thing about that injury too, because they thought he had all kinds of. He only had one. It tore one. When they went and checked it out, and they said the reason that he could survive that. Have you ever seen the clips of him where he's doing squats?
Yeah, the squats.
And the bar can't even hold the weight that he's squatting. He has actual people trying to hold it up so he can do it. They're like, that's the reason that guy didn't, like, his leg didn't fall off. I mean, that was gruesome.
Right, and I think the NFL needs to move to all grass too. Yeah. You know, soccer does it. it's probably harder to upkeep and more expensive, but, you know, it's for the players too. And you would have to assume on nice, like, quote, soft grass, even for head injuries, when you're not smoking your head on, you know, the turf, right? And even when you're slipping and sliding, the grass, you know, cuts with you, right? So you're not forcing your leg or your ligaments to go another way. The NFL has so much money. They need to use science to figure out why people are getting injured and how to combat that.
Yeah, and they need to make sure that all teams are doing like the Raiders do. They have a grass field. They take it outside. They water it during the day. They let it sit and get sunshine and then bring it back in. The Rams, same philosophy. It's a movable thing that they can do. You need to do that.
Yeah, and I don't know what the like skull cap things are called when they have them at practice, but I remember in high school we had those. People wore them at practice. It's like the helmet cover that helps. If they wear it in practice, why don't they wear it in the games?
I don't understand.
Like, make a design that fits the helmet and wear it during the games. If it's more protection, it doesn't make any sense.
It's an advertising thing, man. You can put advertisements on there. That I agree with you. That's the thing that the NFL has to try to get a hold of is you can't. It's the same thing with the NCAA. You can't see yourself as a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And you're not taking care of the people that we're not there to watch anybody else but them.
It just sounds like big corporation talk.
It does. And that's what it is. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 17 new segments. This is getting real. Real deal. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I'm bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ. And the website, 1700thechamp.com. We have Lions Packers tonight. So get looking forward to that. This is going to be kind of easy for me. This next segment's brought to you by Broadlawns Medical Center. So let's toss this to Nate. Tell us some things about Broadlawns Medical Center.
Yeah, so just in the last couple weeks here, we had our Drake Clinic grand opening. It's not for Drake, it's just on the Drake campus. It is the Broadlawns Community Clinic at Drake. They provide all the services. They also provide the services to the Drake students as well. They move the health center into our clinic. A big push for mental health, especially with the students and faculty there, and obviously with the surrounding community. But
beautiful building.
Oh, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And that's just a big part about Broadlawns too, is they've always been kind of known as the mental health hospital and helping people in that aspect. And I really think this clinic brings it to fruition, especially for those Drake students.
Yeah, and so we had the Rose Soiree. That was fun.
Yep.
Birthing center in Broadlawns might have been the highlight of the night. What a story! What the people that work there and mm-hmm. how involved and it is all of that. And that I thought that was pretty cool.
And so the thing that I love most about it, Broadlawns, whenever there's a baby born, there is a lullaby that's played over the speakers, and there was 2 lullabies this morning.
There you go.
I even got to deliver some flowers to a new mother this morning.
And for me and for the 3 of you, one of your big things coming up is Alzheimer's Project, Memory Project, doing that. Important to me because I lost, I always say this, I lost my father because of Alzheimer's. But I lost my mother too because she had to take care of him. Mm-hmm. Because there just wasn't anything out there. There was no, I mean, I don't even know, and that's been a while. I mean, you guys were all very, very small. So it's been 20 years. And I don't know if we're any further. I think we're better, but we need some place like that mm-hmm. to be able to help. Because that's the thing that was missing. We didn't have anybody that could help us.
Right.
And so when that happened, I mean, I took you 3, and you guys were awesome. But we moved into a really small house that I lived in with 3 people, and now we have 6 people. And but I have to say this, and I don't know how much you guys remember that. I mean, you guys had a blast
with, I had an
with
absolute Tom. Blast.
It was a lot of fun. Loved having you guys there. But, you know, you can't have stuff like that happen right. And not have an answer or a plan. And I think that's where you're kind of heading. So I appreciate that.
Especially for this Brain and Wellness Center, too. It's not just necessarily for the people with Alzheimer's and dementia. There's also going to be a unit for almost like a teaching part for all the care providers of people taking care of people with Alzheimer's, just like your mom.
Very, very difficult. And not as difficult as it used to be to talk about it. I actually enjoy talking about it nowadays. Okay, so I have you guys on here. What is, besides sports, people always ask me, what are the boys doing? What are you crashing on TV right now? We'll start with you, Zach. Besides sports.
Yeah, that's Gilmore Girls.
Wow.
It's not by choice, obviously. I watch football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So I can, you know, get some Gilmore Girls. I heard of the show. I didn't know it was about anything. I think we're on the last season right now. So it's better than all the Housewives reality TV show. So, but yeah, that's, I've been watching Gilmore Girls.
Andrew, what are you crushing? You're always crushing something.
Yeah, I'm going through Only Murders in the Building right now on Hulu, and it's starring our two boys,
Steve Martin, Martin Short,
yes. Which I, you know, little brag here, I got mom and dad a pretty good Christmas present a couple of years ago to go see Steve Martin, Martin Short
awesome.
At the Civic Center, and it is unreal. It is funny. There's twists and turns. You never want to stop watching
and
it.
Who's the gal?
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez. Yeah.
She's super good in it. Yeah. Yeah.
The season 3 finale airs next Tuesday. So
just a little out there that on Tuesday, Mom and I are going to Beetlejuice at the Civic Center. Yeah. I'm thinking that's going to be pretty cool.
Is Keaton coming back? Is Keaton coming?
No.
Winona Ryder going to be there?
But it's going to be pretty cool, though.
Go, Mr.
All right, what are you crushing?
So, it sparked my interest because I'm in the medical space now.
Okay.
There is a, it's like a, I don't know if you would call it a documentary. It's like based on a true story, but it's called Painkiller. It's when Purdue Pharma came out with OxyContin for the first time and just showing how it, like, ruined people's lives and how these lawyers from Virginia basically brought this huge, huge pharmaceutical company just to the ground because of how they didn't realize how bad it was for their patients.
And the OxyContin part of that is extremely bad is – then you had people doing knockoffs, and to get it to the place they thought they needed to have, they started adding fentanyl to it.
Yep. And that's what basically started the opiate crisis.
Yeah. And now if one of the things I saw, people sent me a bunch of pictures and I'm like, it was in California and it's a bunch of people that are just stopped in the middle of the street.
They're still.
And still they have a heroin addiction.
It's heroin and fentanyl.
Yeah. And I mean, they're just standing there and you can't move them. I mean, it's crazy that, you know, we don't, I know it's here and you see some stuff, but man, when you go to a big city, it's crazy that just some of the stuff that's going on, just like the looting going, this open season on Apple Store or Hellsburg or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's also, you know, the employees that are working there, they don't owe it to the company to risk their lives to save
not.
Merchandise
yeah.
for things that they're not getting paid enough for. So
I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And obviously things, I mean, become more prevalent based on the population size of that city. So where there's more people, there's going to be more everything else. So it kind of goes hand in hand there. But what are you watching, Gary?
You know, that's, I have.
You've exhausted Ted Lasso already. So what?
I did. I've actually watched, I have never had more enjoyment of watching a show as much as I liked watching that show. Even when it was sad, it made me happy. I think that he is one of the greatest actors of all time, comedically. And he's not even really. He's done other things. That first kind of scene where he's throwing the dart and going barbecue sauce. I mean, I play that over and over on my phone every day. When I'm having a bad time, I go, you know, that's what I watch.
Yeah.
It's amazing how good it is. And I tried to watch some other shows. I still, like last night, I'm flipping through. We got home late and I'm like, well, what can I watch? And it was which is a horrible thing. It was Michael Keaton and all those guys with the priests.
Spotlight. Yeah.
Every time I go by and I see like a Spotlight or a show like that, the ones that I watch all the time, mm-hmm. I just automatically just stop and watch it. And the reason the other night when you guys were over and I was watching that Mission Impossible, because I was flipping through and the Mission Impossible, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to watch it with commercials. So I just pulled it up and did it on my own.
Yeah.
I try to watch Ted Lasso. Took a long time because I can't stay up late, mm-hmm. but, it was just, it was so good. I still can't believe how good it is.
Yeah. It's a great show. Message. You know, it's the dart scene. It's, you know, don't be judgmental, be curious. You know, if you were curious, you would have asked me, do you play a lot of darts, Ted?
Every Sunday. I mean, I really enjoyed that. So one more on the circle of trust for quarterbacks. I've got about 5 minutes here before we get our last segment. If you had to trust one of these guys and you had to make a playoff run, would you trust Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones, Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones, Desmond Ryder? Out of those, would you trust any of them?
Can I choose none?
I don't trust Deshaun Watson more than I can throw him.
I was going to say, insert Deshaun Watson joke here.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, honestly, as bad as...
he had a big game last week.
Yeah, yeah. And as bad as it is, I mean, I feel like with the current roster of the Patriots... maybe not Mac Jones, but Mac Jones, you forget, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. I mean, if he doesn't make mistakes, I mean, he makes mistakes, but he's in that, you know, system with Bill Belichick. I mean, if they get a few players that are in there and not getting hurt, I think I would say Mac Jones there. Russell Wilson, I think I'm off that ship.
I've given up on Russell Wilson.
He's now Mr. Limited.
Yeah, if it's not scripted, I don't think he can do it anymore. The one that I think, and it's because of coach and team and everything, I think Kenny Pickett's going to be fine. And a lot of people didn't think Kenny Pickett was going to make it in the NFL. I don't know. Maybe he won't, but
it's probably a little too soon to tell, but Mike Tomlin has, you know, the track record, their defense. I mean, you could go Kenny Pickett or probably Deshaun Watson just because the defense of the Browns and the defense of the Steelers. They're so good, and that goes a long, long, long way in the playoffs.
Okay,
especially when your defense can score points, like TJ Watt. He's arguably like the best defensive player.
I think TJ Watt's
even in like
better.
Pittsburgh history, which they have a lot of good.
I think TJ Watt is a better player than Micah Parsons on what he does for that Pittsburgh Steeler. Micah Parsons isn't a run stopper. I mean, he's athletic enough that he can do it.
Micah Parsons is a playmaker.
Right. Well, and Micah Parsons, he used to play the same position as TJ Watt, and he plays nose guard now. He literally is the smallest, fastest nose guard, and he gets to the quarterback so fast.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. All right, so this is, I think this is the biggest game of the weekend in the NFL, and it's the Patriots going to the Cowboys. Bill Belichick against a coach that's not very good. I'm not a big what's his name? I was gonna
Mike McCarthy. I don't like Mike McCarthy.
I don't either. I definitely do not like head coaches calling plays. I think that's redonkulous. I've always said that. Your job as a head coach is to hire the best person that'll call the plays you want them to call.
What about Mike McDaniels? Doesn't he call his own plays?
He does, and it's going to come back. It's going to bite him at some point in time. It is, because he's not paying attention to the whole enchilada now. The reason that he's doing it so much better this year and the reason the Broncos aren't as good on defense is he brought Vic Fangio in to take care of the defense. So as a head coach, I don't have to worry about the defense at all, and I can put the defense – he doesn't even care if I put him in bad situations because he thrives on that. So I think it's a little different on there.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Patriots probably point spread. I don't like – it's going to be a challenge for Dallas. It's going to be a big game for them. Is that a primetime game or is it during the day?
3:25 Fox.
Okay. Who's the primetime game?
It is the Chiefs and the Jets. Ugh. Which at the beginning of the year,
it was going to be
that would have been pretty cool.
And see the kicker for the NFL, they can't flip games in until halfway mark.
Oh, they can't flex the games out.
I don't think they can.
The Jets are going to get all their games flexed.
I mean, they're the Broncos of last year. You know, the Broncos got every single primetime game, and then they realize halfway through the season, like the Broncos are not a team that we want to put on primetime.
So bad, and what are we going to do? Yeah. And then the Monday night game is the Seahawks Giants in New York. That's not a good game. I mean, that's not a fun game.
Do we get two Monday night games again this week?
Nope.
I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of that.
I'm a big fan of that too.
I don't know why you're knocking the Seahawks Giants game.
I'm not knocking the Seahawks. I'm knocking
the New York Football Giants. No, I think the Seahawks will be another sneaky team again this year, but the Giants just need to figure it out.
There's three teams in the league that right now are going, oh my God, what did I do? Cleveland, because that's a guaranteed contract. Denver. That's a guaranteed contract.
They're going to move off for us this year. I'm almost certain.
It's Walmart money. They can afford to do that. And the third, I made myself just lose my train of thought on my third. Oh, Daniel Jones. So you just paid Daniel Jones $40 million. Josh Dobbs just beat the Cowboys, and he's making $450,000.
Yeah, but I think the Giants, I think they're fine. You know, Saquon coming back maybe, you know, this week or next week.
Which is still fast for ankle sprain.
And they also, they came back and beat the Cardinals. They scored a bunch of points. It's early in the season. It's the same thing. You know, it takes some time, right, to get back in, you know, game mode.
That's a crazy thing.
Dable's
Arizona,
good.
If Arizona wins that game, they're 2-1. And people are thinking differently.
Which is wild.
It is wild.
Mm-hmm.
And they got playmakers. They beat the Cowboys up. I didn't think that was possible.
What's wrong with Kyler Murray?
Knee.
Okay.
Tore his ACL towards the end of the season last year.
Is that your Kyler Murray face?
No, I just.
That says I did not know that face. Yeah.
Huh?
Wasn't it late
season? Towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
He can come back, I think, week 12.
Is Cooper Kupp coming back? When is he coming back?
Yeah, he's elevated. Yeah.
Man, that Puka Nacua. Kicking my butt in fantasy. Every week. I play against him in a different league.
He's got the record.
I mean, there's no way that he can do it again.
I sat him one day that he had 35 points. That was crazy. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I want to thank everybody for coming in here today. Got the boys in here. Next segment, happy Thursday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, my last segment.
The last segment.
You are listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at SteenOnSports, at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, the website 1700thechamp.com. A lot of sports on this weekend. We have Lions, Packers, Twins, Rockies, you and I, Youngstown State, Commanders, Eagles, Patriots, Cowboys, Chiefs, Jets, Seahawks, Giants. Ryder Cup updates. You're going to get the full boat this weekend. So enjoy some radio if you are out and about in your car or out walking around. Listen to 1700 The Champ, and you can pick up a lot of sports things. Want to once again thank all my sponsors, Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, Broadlawns Medical Clinic, even from earlier this year, Demos, thank you very much. I couldn't have done this show without the sponsors. That was, you know, I didn't come back. I wasn't working for the radio station. I was working for myself. And I also want to thank the radio station for believing in me. And it was a crazy ride. So how this all started. I wanted to go around and interview coaches and athletic directors. So I, because of my connections at Dowling, I went in and I interviewed, OC Mike O'Connor and Coach Wilson. And, I took those and I had them and I walked in here. I'm getting ready to have my interview with a bunch of people. And I had those two interviews there and we were going to pop them in and listen to them. I don't even remember who, who was here, but they left here and went to another radio station. So this time slot from 4 to 6 was open. And they're like, okay, they listened to the interviews, and they're great. The people you know are great. People recommending you and stuff is out of this world. Would you be willing to do this? We have another person that we're really high on and wanting to do. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I could do that. And so I got introduced to Wolfgang. And we had a blast. We came in here our first week. Neither one of us had any idea in the world how to do any of this, because he had never done that. He'd been on the, you know, just like with two people, and he would have been the third. And he was just listening to his stories and stuff was amazing. And we were getting better and better and better and better. And I can't remember your spring break trip.
Mm-hmm.
And he tragically passed away. And so I came back and I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? And yeah. I did it. Not that I was doing it on my own. BSOX was coming in and helping me, because I'd never done this side. I've done that side. I can do that all day. Mm-hmm. But learning to do some of this stuff over here and doing all that, had a couple of people come in, tried them out, didn't really fit, but knew that I couldn't get what I wanted to get out of this being on this side. So Jeremy came in, and Jeremy did the board, and we did a bunch of stuff, and really, really happy with doing that stuff with Jeremy. And COVID killed that. I mean, I got a phone call getting ready to go to a golf outing, and they said, yep, you're done. And I'm like, well, that, you know, we'd have been the only people in here.
Yeah.
And to be really honest, when I was talking through all this with them, they're like, you know, that was one of the things. We probably should have done that. And it would have probably been a lot different. Fast forward a little bit, and they're like, you want to come back in and do this? And I'm like, yep, but I'm going to do it by myself this time. And I don't want to work for the radio. I mean, I didn't say that I didn't want to work for the radio station, but I said I have to be able to get outside people, because I have outside people that are willing to take care of the show. And I don't want to, not that I'm not going to do the stuff you want me to do. If you want me to do advertising, I'll do that. But I want my own advertisers too. And got lucky with a bunch of people that wanted to do that. And finally, after sitting around a campfire for 20 years doing this, Scott came in for a couple of days a week. And, you know, it really took off and got a lot more people. And it's been a blast. Having you guys in here has been a blast. At different times, but it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot that I have to go into work at 6 because I need off a couple hours, and then I'm here till 6. So it's 6 to 6 every day. It gets a little, and you know, I think the thing that is the most, I love talking about sports. I like watching and going to sports more than that. So it was time, but it's still sad though. But the people, they were great people, and it was a ton of fun, you know, from, Randy Wehofer coming in and having iCubs things like we do, and getting to talk to Mitch Holtis and getting to
Kevin Harlan.
I mean, I had some really good interviews and really good conversations with people. And, you know, I got to see somebody and got to talk to somebody for like the past 4 weeks, J.W. Cox, who is the director of broadcasting and the voice of the UNI Panthers, taking over for Gary Rima, which is like taking over for Jim Zobel. I mean, Gary Rima is in a smaller market for UNI. J.W. It's just enthusiasm, and it hurt to go, yeah, this is the last time I'm going to get to talk to you. That hurt, and some of the guests that I had on all the time, that I'm going to miss all those guys too. But bigger and better things to do, and time with you guys. And the thing I'm thinking the most is, I can start setting tee times for like 3:30 in the afternoon,
yeah,
and playing golf, because I don't get to play as much golf as I want to play. So
not trying to find 2 hours of dialogue 5 days a week might give you some free time as well.
That's the difficult thing too, and. I think that's the thing that people ask the most. How do you know what you're going to talk about? I don't. and then I get in and I start, I think, here's the thing that I had to learn the quickest was the things that I thought I wanted to talk about, sometimes they didn't work. Mm-hmm. And so you just moved on. And then things I never thought would work, hit. And that was the biggest thing for Scott and I. Scott and I talking sports is the boringest thing. I mean, when we talk about everything else, even when I bring you guys in, yeah. You know, because people want to know. I mean, when I talked about TV today, it wasn't just to, I know how much you guys enjoy TV. It matters to people what's on TV because it's so many channels and so many things. It's hard to figure out, you know, what's worthy of taking up as much time. I mean, you guys know I like to go to bed. I'm watching Ted Lasso. I'm staying up till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Yeah. I can't do that. I'm too old to do that. So I enjoyed having you guys come in here today. I thank you for coming in here today. It's been fun because we do this whenever we're together too. We're yelling at each other about sports.
Sure.
And it's funny because besides the Cyclones, we really don't have sports teams that we like, we're not in common. Sports players that we like, we're not in common. Mm-hmm. We fight about that all the time. I fight with Andre all the time about, yes, I know LeBron James is really good, but you missed a lot of really good basketball.
And that's your fault. You waited too long to have me.
Yeah. Exactly.
I still think, to this day, the best thing that has ever happened on this radio station. I was in here one of the first times, and it was when Wolfgang was still with us. You guys were screaming into the microphone.
And you know what you were screaming about?
It was about Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Well, no, it was about Caitlin Clark.
It was about that, but it was also about LeBron, Kareem,
yes,
and Jordan.
Yeah,
you guys were just tearing each other apart.
He said, I said basketball, and I said, if you're saying basketball, which means from high school to the NBA to the Hall of Fame, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the best player of all time because of what happened. And he was great. And then it went to Caitlin Clark could not play on a high school basketball team, boys' high school basketball team in this state. And I'm like, you are crazy. Yeah. Number one, they're not going to allow her to do it. Number two, she's better than anybody that I've seen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was.
Yeah. And I mean, I have been in her practices before and played with her in practice.
Did you see her new Nike gear that she?
Oh, those are so cool.
Put out.
I see sponsored ads all the time with Caitlin on there. Now.
It's the CC22 jumpsuit or something like that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. That's gonna be the thing. If you live in this state, that's gonna be the story for the year is what does she do to do more than what she did last year. I'm hoping she doesn't have to. I hope she gets to do less.
Hopefully it's a championship.
And they're better. The problem with that, with the transfer portal, is LSU's stacked.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, they have 10 girls that can play the entire time.
Yeah, it's crazy. But once again, I love you guys and thank you for always being there. I appreciate it. And thank you.
Well, thank you for giving me a reason to leave work early.
what a ride we've had, Dan.
Yeah, and, you know, love you too. Thank you. Not many people can say they've had their own radio show, so tip your cap to that. And, you know, next thing, what's the next thing we're going to do, you know?
I don't know.
Love you, Dan.
Love you guys too. You've been listening to Steen on Sports for the last time. 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. 1700 The Champ, thank you. Love you too.